You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Welcome to our first ever Good Friday service. Isn't it great to be here? And if you're new here, my name is Jesse. My wife and I have the privilege of leading this great church. I love being the pastor here at Eternity Church. It's absolutely a wonderful group of believers, and we believe that it's almost a given that this weekend we'll have over 1,000 people in church, which is a long way from where we started 5 years ago. God's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, because what we're discovering is that the more people find out about this God-man that paid people's debt, the more that they want to know him. And that's been our story every week. People getting to know this God-man named Jesus who died on a cross for them. And anyway, if you're new here, just thank you for visiting. We're glad you're here. I hope you have had a wonderful night so far. I hope you enjoyed worshiping the Lord with us. But please do us a favor, and after the service, take a connection card that you might have been handed as you walked in the door. If you didn't, they'll have them out there at the lounge. Take that card out to the connection lounge and give it to them, filled in. They'll give you a t-shirt that says, "Welcome Home." Now, I've got a secret surprise for you. On Sunday, we're actually launching new and improved, well, we've never had boxes before, but on Sunday, we're launching visitor boxes. Sorry, not visitor boxes. We're launching welcome boxes, all right? And so everyone who visits for the first time on Sunday will get a welcome box, and everyone who visits our church from now on will get a welcome box, okay? Now, I just want to let you know a couple of things that are in there so you know. Number one, it says welcome home. Like, that's enough to know this is brilliant, right? This is fantastic stuff. There's a t-shirt in there. There's a couple of flyers in there. There's some great information about our church in there. There's also these wonderful journals in there. And they say, "The Word Became Flesh, Eternity Church." We want you to bring those to church with you and take notes in the sermons. Because God is good, and we want to remember what we learn and what we hear in church, don't we? And so do that. That'll be awesome. Also, just so you know, I believe in a few weeks, but we want to save what we have for our visitors and our first-time guests for now. But after a little while, when our printers and everything can catch up to our ridiculously high demand, you'll be able to buy these out in the foyer as well so that you can have one too. The whole box is not for sale. That's kind of special for your friends who come and visit, but you can grab the notebook. Does that look pretty cool? So the good news is, and I did only tell Christy about an hour ago about this, and she didn't have a heart attack, so that's all right. If you're a visitor tonight, I give you permission to double dip. That's right. You can go grab your shirt tonight, and then on Sunday, get your box with a different shirt and a whole bunch of stuff in it, all right? So go do that. I give you permission. Anyone gives you any grief, you say, "Pastor said so." And I think they'll let you have it. So, sound good? Awesome. Let's pray for the word. God, we're so grateful for this particular day in history. This is the day that heaven made its biggest sacrifice and mankind made its greatest triumph. God, we're grateful for this day. Today we come here with grateful hearts just to simply say thank you. And God, I pray that as I preach your word tonight, you would help me to declare and help others to understand the significance of what you did on this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So thinking about today, it's only fitting to think about sacrifice. Sacrifice, right? What is the biggest sacrifice that you have ever made? See, a friend of mine made a big sacrifice, or I believe it's a big sacrifice, and I know he certainly did at the time. He had to give up riding motorcycles to marry the woman of his dreams. That's a big deal, right? Any men in here say that's a big deal? I know some men are like, "Not for a woman, it's not a big deal." Well, I tell you, it's a big deal. Come on now. I did not have to give up riding motorcycles to marry my wife. We have a standing agreement. They've been a part of my life forever, and when I decide it's coming back, it's coming back. That's the agreement, all right? I sold it when we moved here. I'll buy it when I want it back, right? That's our standing agreement. Now, it makes me sound rude, but actually that was her deal. And am I right? Is this still the deal? It was 5 years ago. The deal might have changed a little bit, but I'm a persuasive guy, and I'll let her know, and we'll work through that, and it'll be fun. But I didn't have to give up my motorcycle to marry my bride. My mate did have to give up his motorcycle, though. See, for this one friend, it was a big deal to give up his motorcycle, but this young lady, she loved her daddy, right? He was her favorite person in the whole world. This gal that he wanted to marry, she loved her dad. He made her feel safe. He made her feel happy when she hurt. He held her and she felt better. But when she was 13, the police knocked on the door and daddy was killed in a motorcycle accident on his way home from work. Now, if you want to marry that girl, something's going to have to change there. Am I right? See, whenever she saw a motorcycle, she was reminded how her world was devastated because dad rode motorcycles. You know what I'm saying here? See, my friend Jono, he loved his motorcycle. He grew up like I did, riding bikes everywhere. It was almost a part of his country boy identity. He loved it so much. But you know what? When he met his soon-to-be bride, she had now finally found another man that made her feel safe, like her daddy did. Another man that was willing to spend time with her and cheer her up when she was sad. And every time she saw him on the motorcycle, she was filled with fear that someday Jono too might die and she'd get a knock on the door in her future and her kids would grow up without a dad like she did. And it filled her with fear. So he did what a man tends to do and said, I love you more than this thing that I ride. I love you more than this, maybe this sacrifice that I've got to make. And I'll give this up for you because I want you to have security and to know that marrying me, I'm going to be here for the long haul, right? So he gave it up. He hasn't ridden a motorcycle at all ever since, not even a friend's new motorcycle. I'm going to jump on and test ride it. I remember when Luke Van Gorp got his motorcycle and we're at Hy-Vee parking lot, so I went for a ride. You tend to do that when your mate gets a motorcycle. But this guy won't ride one now because he doesn't want his wife to feel what she felt when her daddy died. He made the sacrifice. Have you ever made a sacrifice? Like a real sacrifice. I'm not talking like a stupid sacrifice. You know, like, I'm not going to wear clothes anymore. Like, sacrifice with no reason is just stupid, right? Am I right? Like, if you just don't want to wear clothes anymore, well, that's something different. That, you know, you'll go on a list or something, right? And that's just dumb. Don't do that, all right? That's going to bring a whole different world of pain into your life. I don't recommend it. Wear clothes. They're good for you, okay? Also good for us to see you in clothes, okay? Like, some sacrifices are dumb. Like, hey, like, I'm going to sacrifice drinking water so I can support Coca-Cola. Like, you know, that's not a sacrifice. Sacrifice without reason is just dumb, right? But sacrifice for love is a big deal, isn't it? Sacrifice is a wonderful part of life. Have you made sacrifice? It might seem small, it might seem big, but sacrifice is a great part of our lives. But we've got to make sure that it's for a reason, right? That there's purpose in our sacrifice. Maybe you had to stop going out 3 nights a week. Maybe you used to have poker night with your mates. Maybe you used to have a cigar night with your friends. Maybe you used to have movie night with your guy friends or whatever else. But now you've had to stop doing that 3 nights a week because you want to spend time with your family, right? Sacrifice is a good thing, isn't it? Wouldn't it be a good thing if some husbands who were out 6 nights a week decided I'm going to sacrifice some of those things and come home and spend time with my family, right? Wouldn't that be a good thing, right? You don't have to be there all the time, but maybe you could just give up one thing. That's a sacrifice that's good and has purpose, amen? Maybe you had to give up the drink for your family's sake because maybe every time you drank, your wife was embarrassed by you and so you gave that up because you love your wife. Right? And maybe you've had to give up caffeine so you're not always so hyperactive that your wife can't stand to be near you. I don't know who that is, but I'm sure there's someone like that, right? But we sacrifice for the people we love, don't we? Right? We sacrifice when we love people. See, today's Good Friday. It's all about the day that Jesus gave up his life because he loved you more than his own life experience here on earth. Today's the day where God the Father, even knowing his son will be raised from the dead and could not eternally die, was willing to watch Jesus go through intense pain for you so that you could be forgiven of your sins and be called a friend of God. Now, I've heard it said, is it really a sacrifice if you know that you'll just come back alive? Have you heard people say that before? You know, well, God knew that Jesus would come back alive, you know? Well, if I knew that Judah would come back alive, I still wouldn't let you stab him in the side with a spear. Just saying, I'll take that spear and maybe you'll see what it feels like, right? That's what I would do, I'm just saying, right? What if you know they're going to come back alive, or if you know someone can't eternally die, is it really a sacrifice? Well, then how come people being tortured beg to die? Right? Come on now, there was more to it than just a death. Jesus Christ went through intense pain on this day so that we could have a friendship with God. Now, not everything we love needs to be sacrificed. I love God more than my house, more than my car, more than any finance in my bank account. I love God more than all of that, and I am absolutely willing to give up every red cent I've got so that God, if God would call me to do it, but guess what? He hasn't, and he probably won't because I'm willing to do it, right? He probably won't, but I am willing. But not everything has to be sacrificed. But a willingness is sometimes enough. A willingness is sometimes what God's after. Amen? I remember the rich young ruler. I think Brandon talked about the rich young ruler, that he didn't wait to see what God would do when he says, hey, give up all of this. And then if he waited for the next line, he would have found out that God would give back tenfold, 100 times, and pressed down, shaking together, running over, pouring into his lap. Amen? So why is sacrifice needed? And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Why did Jesus have to die? Why do we even go through this great charade of Jesus Christ dying on a cross for us? Why didn't God just go, boom, sins are forgiven, son? Why didn't that happen? I want to tell you some stories, a story about some would-be assassins. You see, suppose a group of anarchists plot to assassinate the President of the United States and of America and the whole cabinet, and they almost succeed. Their bombs destroy a part of the White House and they kill some staff, but the President narrowly escapes. The anarchists are caught, and the court finds them guilty. But then they say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing that. And the court says, fair enough. Sentence suspended. Off you go and do your thing. What would that communicate to the world about the value of the president's life? Right? What would that communicate to the world about the value of our governance? It would communicate that they're of little value, would it not? If that was just let go, whatever. It would communicate that this is not important. These people are not important. They're of little value to us. I want to read you something from Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through Jesus, through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes through Jesus. Now, listen up here. This is amazing. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about these six verses, couldn't we? We, if you've read your Bible, or if you've been reading through it before, and you read those, you're like, man, I could spend just months in those six verses. But I want to help you understand that last portion. He left sin unpunished. Now, let's get something straight first. All right, I don't want to talk about who doesn't like our current or former president. All right, whatever, I don't care. Go have fun. Right. What I want to talk to you about is, imagine it's your favorite president ever, okay? Your favorite president ever, right? is who these guys were going after that we talked about before, right? It's your favorite president ever, right? And they say sorry, and the court lets them go. How do you feel about that, right? How do you feel about that? You're like, no, you're going to be livid, aren't you? Who's going to be mad as a cut snake up in here? Come on now, right? Who's going to be mad? You're going to be mad, aren't you? You can be honest. We're not talking politics. We're talking office, all right? Calm down. Relax. They're not punishing the wrong that was done. See, if you notice that deep inside your heart is a desire and a need for justice, isn't there? Justice has got to be done. It's deep down in there, right? It's got to happen, right? Something bad happens, y'all are like, come on, I hope they get that son of gun, right? You want justice to happen, don't you? Right? When someone speeds by you in the car and you turn to your wife or you turn to the husband, what do you say? I hope they get a ticket. Don't you? You call it a ticket, don't you? Yeah, ticket. Yeah. I hope they get a ticket. Who cares? What's that got to do with you? Right? It's got nothing to do with you, but you're just like, they did the wrong thing. I hope it costs them $245, and I hope that I get to drive past and do this. That's what you do, don't you? Yeah? You don't know how many of you have done that to me and didn't know it was me, right? That's the truth. That's why I get a different car every few years, so people don't know who I am. When someone steals from you, you're like, hope they get that jerk, right? Hope they get that guy. When someone causes a car accident and someone is killed, they'll get what's coming to them. They'll get what's coming to them. Have you said things like that before? Yeah? Watch the news and some creep's on there and you're like, oh man, I hope that guy just gets it, you know? And what about this? I've heard people say all sorts of things. I've heard people say, what goes around comes around. Yeah, or this one. This one's particularly disturbing. I hope they rot in hell. Hear people say things like that about people, right? Because deep down inside you, we all have this need for justice. We've all got this desire and this desperation for justice to be served because wrong things need to be punished for us to feel safe and secure in this world, don't they? But who decides what's wrong and what's right? You? You decide, I decide. You don't want me deciding, right? My bar's a bit lower than some other pastors. And let's be honest. I never cuss, ever. But it's higher than some other people, right? It's higher than, you don't want me to choose because it might be higher than some of you. It might be lower than some of you, right? I don't want you to choose because you just want me to be you. Right? What happens if I believe that something you're doing is wrong and needs to be punished, but you believe it's great and should be celebrated? Or if something I believe should be celebrated and you think it's wrong? What do we do in that dilemma? You see the dilemma? We would never agree and we would always choose our own level of goodness. He's a good guy. We'd choose our own level of goodness as the benchmark for who is good enough for heaven and forgiveness, wouldn't we? And even then, we don't even meet that sometimes, right? See the dilemma? We all want justice. God is just and only God. And so from the very beginning, God, who loves justice as much and even more than you do, has known that sin's just got to be punished. So one day when punishing the animals, being sacrificed for our sins, wasn't going to be enough, one day when we finally realize that we'll never be perfect enough because we set this benchmark of what is and isn't good and don't even meet our own one, right, sometimes. And we realize that we need something a little more final to pay the price for our sins, don't we? A little more final, something with a little bit more power to pay the price for our sins because it has to be paid for because when it's not paid for, people get angry, right? Someone's got to pay, they say, all the time. So God sent Jesus Christ, who had never sinned. who'd never done wrong, who'd never hurt anyone, to be that person that was punished for us. Because we hear it all the time. Someone's got to pay. Someone's got to be punished for this. Someone's got to be punished for this. That's why they talk about the scapegoat. Sometimes a scapegoat is, well, everyone's calling for justice, so I just need to get a guy and we need to punish this guy so they'll all stop calling for justice, right? We need someone because we need justice. It's deep down inside us. Well, Jesus is that scapegoat, my friend. He's the one that God punished, so you don't have to be punished for what you did. And God is still called just because Christ willingly went to the cross for you. That means you're forgiven. You catch that? You're forgiven. I hope that you're starting to understand now the significance of this night. See, for so long I lived my Christian life and I'm like, but why even the sacrifice? What's the deal with the sacrifice? Like, why God all-powerful didn't just go, boom, took care of that? Why the sacrifice? I hope you're beginning to understand that there's this deep thing inside us. It's a call for justice because God created us in His image. In His image, and He has that inside. There's a little bit of God in all of you. You know that? I'm not saying you're a little bit God. I'm saying there's a little bit of God in you. All right? I hate that. That's a heresy that you're like a little God man. That was Jesus. He's the God man. Amen. But there is a bit of God in you. He breathed His life into you. He made you in His image. Amen. Come on now. There's a bit of God in you. And that's why you have the emotions you have. They're okay if they're up and down. But hey, we got to learn to control them. But they're a part of God's nature too. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we're going to start a new sermon series. We got that up on the screen. It's like a little segue. Boom. In a couple of weeks, we're going to start a new sermon series called Get Angry. Can someone yell out, Get Angry? Come on now, we're going to start a new sermon series in a couple of weeks. Get angry, all right? I really do believe that some of y'all need to get a bit more angry. That didn't land very well. Some of you are like, there's enough angry Christians out there. No, there's some mean ones out there, all right? There's a difference between being mean-spirited and being angry, okay? I think you need to find out that, in fact, I'm going to tell you, you need to come to church in May and every week in between so that we can show you that you're allowed to be angry, all right? And that's going to be a good week, but we'll move on. Back to there's a little bit of God in you. Those emotions, those feelings. That need for justice. You know, it's funny, isn't it? Because some of you did some dumb things and still have and still do and still will. Me too. I find that when we get saved sometimes, we're confronted with what everyone else says we need to feel. But you did this. Someone's got to pay for that, right? So people look at you and what you did, and they're like, someone's got to pay. Someone did. Someone did. Amen. Someone did. Jesus did, and He paid a really high price. A great big price. Amen. Not just death on the cross, not just the intense pain that He went through that most would beg to die at the beginning of, not just leaving heaven to be fully human for a period of time, but God changed the rules of the universe He loves so Jesus Christ could be punished for our sin. Yes, someone paid for it already. Someone's got to pay. Someone did. Amen. He did it on this very night. Jesus paid for it. God saw His glory being despised by sinners like David. He saw His worth being belittled and His name dishonored by our sins. And rather than vindicating the worth of His glory by slaying us, He vindicated it by killing Jesus, who willingly went to the cross so we could have life. Amen. Come on, someone praise the Lord in here as the band comes back up. You can stand up and praise the Lord if you want. You can stand up and praise Him, but the band's going to come back up right now. But God vindicated the worth of His glory by allowing Jesus Christ to go to the cross for your sin. This is good preaching. If I don't say so myself. By the way, that thing about standing up, you can do that for real. Yeah, yeah. We're going to get cracking about now, right? We're about to get fired up in here. Are you ready? Someone ready to get fired up? See, God could have settled accounts by punishing all sinners with hell, and that would have demonstrated that He does not minimize our falling short and our belittling His honor. But God did not want to kill us all and send us to hell. The scripture says that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. So as you hold those communion emblems in your hand, on this wonderful Good Friday, thank you, my good friend. Love you, mate. So, Christian, not people named Christian, I mean you, all of you. So what does this mean that you need to do? You need to stop waiting for the moment that God punishes you for your sins. The amount of times I hear people saying, I'm just waiting for it to come back and get me. You reap what you sow. I'm just waiting for the moment God punishes me for what I've done. I saw the movie The Patriot. You ever seen the movie The Patriot? Best way to tell the American story is with two or three Australian actors. Apparently. So, as I watched that movie, I remember it says at the start, he says, I have long awaited for my sins to be revisited upon me. I got to tell you, stop waiting for God to punish you for your sins. Stop waiting for that. Someone's got to pay. I know someone did. That moment that your sins will be punished has come and gone. Jesus took that punishment for you. And in the words of Jesus Christ on the cross, it is finished. Let's take this cracker and this juice, and as you take the cracker, you're remembering that He was punished for your sins. And as you take the juice, it is finished. There's some people in here I want to talk to specially.
Especially?
Especially. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus, I know that you've been in this sermon and you're going, this is awesome. And I'm not meaning like that Aussie dude up there, that's cool how he's doing the sermon. I mean like the news that I'm sharing with you tonight is awesome, isn't it? Anyone else in here, like as you listen to this story, you're like, that's good stuff, right? Because as I was preparing it, I'm like getting giddy. I'm like, this is wicked. Because wicked is good. And, apparently, because if you've seen the movie. Like, I'm like, this is awesome. Like, I'm like reading and I'm writing. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, this is good stuff. Cool news is on Sunday, we're going to talk about the resurrection. That's gonna be cool, right? We're going to talk about what the resurrection done. I'd want to tell you, man, if God just stopped at this bit, it'd be awesome. Like, best deal ever. Forget the resurrection. My sins are already forgiven today. But on Sunday, I got even more news for you. Even better news for you now, because God's like, you know what? You want this? I'm going to throw in some steak knives. He does it with every deal. It's awesome, right? You got to come on Sunday and find out what the resurrection means. I tell you, you got four options. 9 a.m., 10:45, 1 o'clock. Yeah. Hands up if you're coming at 1 o'clock. I just want to know. There are some people coming at 1 o'clock. Good. Because I'm like, it's either going to be huge or small, but it's going to be people. And people are going to get saved, and it's going to be awesome. But come and find out about the resurrection. But right now, your sins are forgiven. So if you're in here and you don't know Jesus, this is about to be your moment. This is the moment now where you connect with that other moment where your sins were forgiven. See, right now, that's just a thing that happened. Just a moment in history. But tonight, if you'll pray this prayer with me tonight, if you'll say yes to Jesus, that becomes your moment. And this moment and that moment become one moment where your sins are forgiven, where your life is changed, where your sin and shame is thrown so far away that you can never get them back again. Amen. This is your moment. So I want everyone to pray with me. Are you ready to pray with me? Come on, let's all pray. Everybody in the room, close your eyes. If you don't know Jesus, close your eyes and pray this prayer. If you're far away from Jesus, close your eyes and pray this prayer. If you've been with Him for a long time, close your eyes and pray this prayer in support of those who are praying it for the first or second time tonight. But everybody, come on. Dear Jesus, I give you my life tonight. Thank you, God, for allowing Christ to go to the cross to pay for my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He rose again to give me life, joy, peace, hope, and eternal life. Please forgive me the things I've done wrong. You call it sin. And help me to be what You designed me to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise in here.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.